A few weeks ago, Pastor Dave happened to say something to me, and I'm learning that when he says anything to you, whether it seems like it's just kind of in passing, or whether it's something that he's been studying, that you need to hang on to that, because he didn't say it to you for no reason. It wasn't an accident. So, kind of received the words he was saying, filed them away. The essence of what he said, and I can't really give you the exact wording on it, but the essence of what he said was this. Everything we need to be able to track back to the garden and apply what happened there to understand what's happened to us now. That's the essence of what he said to me. Take it back to the garden. So we're going to start out in Genesis. And at the risk of preaching too many scriptures, which this message could easily come into that, and I don't want that to happen, we are going to cover a number of scriptures, and I really do hope that if you have a pen and pencil, you can take notes, or after the service, if you could download the message and listen to it, because what I'm about to say to you this morning, I've never heard before. I've never heard people preach this. It's not that it's some haywire crazy thing. It's a lot of the same scriptures that you've looked at over and over. We're going to look in Ephesians. We're going to see scriptures out of Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 that you've seen. I've seen them. But I have never seen it in this light. And it's taking those scriptures back to the garden, back to the original, to see how they apply to what happened. I've been guilty, like a lot of people, I think, in kind of understanding what happened in the garden in Genesis and not spending as much time as I need to really focus on what happened there, what transpired. So let's start out. We're going to look in the first chapter. Genesis chapter 1. And I've already asked some people to help me this morning. We're going to begin in verse 26. And God said, now that right there is just so very important. God said, everything in creation began with what? His word. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. Over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. And then the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then jump down to verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. He did this on the sixth day. Now let's look in chapter 2. Chapter 2 breaks it down a little bit more in a chronological sense. Gives you a little bit more of exactly how things happen step by step. We're going to look in chapter 2 of Genesis in verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. This is my first helper today. This is Adam. This is the first Adam. And he dressed so well. Didn't he dress well for this? It's like I called him in advance. Come on up here. As we look in Genesis, doesn't he look good? I'm serious. As God created Adam, and I saw this picture this week. It's such a perfect picture. He created him of the dust of the ground. What he had just made, he used to fashion this body. And what I saw this week was really the best picture of what that must have looked like. Because what I saw was, if you went down to the morgue here in Tulsa and you looked at one of those corpses, that is what it looked like before there was life in it. So he fashioned this body out of the dust. Remember, he used his word. He said, "Let us make man." He released his word in the earth. He fashioned the body. And then what did he do? He didn't just breathe air into him. We know that he released from what was inside of him his life and brought life into this man. And it says that he became a living soul. And I want you to think about this, because we run over this in our mind way too fast. From this person came everyone. From this person came who? Eve, woman. Without having brought woman out from man, would it have been possible to procreate? No. So in order for man to procreate, God had to draw out from inside of man woman. Okay, woman, it's your turn. She dressed nicely too. I pick good props, don't I? So I'm going to take my time with this, because it's so very important that you grasp this. Our first man, Adam, from within him, God drew out this person. Think about that. From within him came her. Her identity is so entwined in him. I'm taking this slowly, because as we progress through this, it's going to be so important that your mind immediately goes back to what I'm saying right now. She gains her identity in him. All right, now you're going to have to stay up here for a little while. Sorry about that. Hope you don't mind. Rick doesn't mind. I'm not sure. Okay. I want you to look at the word here. We're going to look at verse 16, chapter 2. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now think about the chronological order. At this point, Eve, I want you to step right back here for me, just right behind him, okay? This represents that she's still inside of Adam. As God speaks, he's speaking to Adam. This commandment is with him. Now, at this point, she's in him, okay? But it's with him. And then it says that God said, "It's not good that man should be alone." Everybody say amen. Amen. "I will make him an helpmeet." Okay, so then it talks about first the animals, and then verse 20. "And God gave names to all the cattle," or excuse me, "Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam." Go to sleep, Adam. He's sleeping now. "And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, closed up his flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord had taken from man he made he a woman, and brought her unto the man." Okay, He's asleep. God opens him up, and he makes this beautiful Eve. Okay, you can wake up now, Adam. Adam wakes up. He looks at Eve, and he just cannot believe his eyes. Woo! And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And they were both naked, and the man and the... Well, we won't go there now. We'll stop there. So I want you to get this picture. What has happened? At this point, God made the heaven and the earth. He took of the earth. He fashioned a body, breathed in, but it wasn't breath. He released inside life. And we first had Adam. Once, at that moment, when he had Adam standing there, Eve wasn't created yet, he released the commandment. He told him at that moment, this is the law. You can eat of any of the tree, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, can't eat of that one. Then he said, "I want to make a helpmeet for Adam," because he's alone. Now we have Eve. Did Eve hear those words? No, she did not hear those words. Why? She was inside Adam at that moment. Did that commandment apply to her? She was inside him. Who did God hold responsible? Him. He was the one. And I want you to see this. Chapter 3, verse 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat." Okay, take of the fruit and eat. There she goes. Now notice he is right there by her, watching her. "And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were open." And we better stop there. We've got kids in the room. All right. So what happened? He broke. They both broke the commandment, but he broke the commandment. He broke it. I've wondered at times, what would have happened if it had just been her? And he would have said no. I don't know that I have the full answer for that to really say. But all we know is that he did it too. Verse 9. "And the Lord God called unto..." Who? Adam. Notice it didn't say he called unto them. It said Adam. Because everything is between me and him. I'm in this place, I'm God, okay? Just everything is between Adam and God. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, Who told you that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Notice, nothing is said about her. Because the commandment, he stands in that place where it's between God and Adam. And once that's broken, what does that affect? It affects not just him, but it affects all of the seed. Now I need you guys to come up here too. This is going to affect not just the two in the garden. This is going to spread throughout generations, throughout all of mankind, unto the seed, because now the seed that's here is corrupt. It's corrupt. So generation, and for those of you listening, I've got a couple up here representing Adam and Eve, and I've got three gentlemen representing generations. First generation, second generation, third generation, all the way down the line. Every time man procreated and reproduced, they kept everything that came out corrupt. Even to this day, when two people come together, the seed is still corrupt. You guys are going to have to stay up here for a little while. You see, this week I was meditating on some of these things, and it wasn't that I was specifically reading these scriptures. I have been assimilating the New Testament. And all of a sudden, what Dave said to me, suddenly it got legs on the inside of me. And I started seeing things. And the first thing I saw was about a marriage covenant. And I emailed Gary about that. And Gary emailed me back and said, That's true in part, but that's not the whole picture. It's not just about the marriage covenant. But what I saw inside was how what happened here, and I'm pointing to the first couple, Adam and Eve, and what happened in the generations that followed had to be reversed. It had to be reversed. So when Dave said you have to take it back to the garden, it finally clicked in me. What has to happen is we have to take everything and go backwards, all the way back until we get to Adam. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is your Resurrection Day message. I know I had a 1 Corinthians in here a while ago. 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam, who's that? Jesus is the last Adam. The last Adam is made a quickening spirit. So I want you to see what's happening here. Our Jesus is that last Adam. Now, just as the first Adam, through him, so very important that you get that, through him, we see everything. First Eve, and then the generations. Very important that you get that. It has to come first here through Adam, and from him, Eve and the generations. Now let me ask you this. Would it have been possible, once again, for these generations to exist if it hadn't been for the fact that God brought from within Adam, Eve? No. There had to be in those two. So couldn't we say, now follow me on this, that all of these generations resulted from her through him? All right, now I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're looking at verse 23. If you've not been down the born again trail, this is going to be maybe a little foggy to you. You need to go down that trail and then listen to this. Verse 23. Being born again. Now listen to this. Not of what? Corruptible seed. Now, what's what we mentioned? All of these generations, they came through the original Adam. came through as a corrupted seed. Now it says that we're being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed. By what? The word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Think about this. This kind of just exploded inside of me. His word, he released originally and created everything that we see. His word has been released again, and this time as an incorruptible seed, created our new born again, new nature. His word. That's what you acted on. The incorruptible seed of the word of God. One day, Miss Daisy, and I know you can't hardly imagine this. One day, Miss Daisy, she was a sinner. Oh. Say it isn't so. Gary can't hardly believe it. One day, Miss Daisy was a sinner. Why was that? We all know. I mean, if there's anyone in this room that's holy, it's Miss Daisy. But how could that be? Because Miss Daisy came through these generations, and one day, there she is. And she was from a corruptible seed. But one day, very early on, I'm sure, she bowed her knee to Jesus. And the moment that she did, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, she acted on it by what? Believing. And through that process of receiving His Word, believing that Word, there was a birth that took place. And I can assure you, it was as though it were back in the garden, that birth that happened when He released His word. This time, she's born again with the life of God on the inside of her. Isn't that wonderful? Only God could think of this. Only God could think about this. Where are we going to go now, Holy Ghost? Okay, let's go to Ephesians. Now, for those of you that were here when we went through Ephesians, you know we spent a lot of time in Ephesians. So what I'm about to share with you in Ephesians, I want you to understand, you've heard these chapters, you've heard these verses before. You're going to have to focus on not thinking about the frame of reference by which you've interpreted those scriptures before. In Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at verse... I've been praying this prayer, and it's really working, because I'm understanding this now. The prayer I'm talking about is the one that begins in verse 17 in Ephesians. I've been praying this prayer. I've been praying the other one in chapter 3, and then the Colossians chapter 1. And I got to tell you something. It's working. I'm understanding this. If you pray this, you will too. It's amazing what's in this word. Okay. Let's just read the prayer. And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Why don't y'all just sit right down there for a second, because I'm going to need you and I don't want you to go sit down anywhere else. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And that's what's been happening. You read this, confess it with your mouth, it happens. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead I can't stop there. I got to keep going. And set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Okay, now this is the part I want you to focus on this. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Okay. Who's Jesus? He is second Adam. Second Adam. Let me have the first Adam come up here. This is going to help you understand and see this a little bit more clearly. Have the first Adam. I'm going to read it again. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. When I saw this, folks, I wanted to go outside and run around my house. His body. Think about the first Adam. As he stood here before anyone else was created, he stood here in a body. From this body, we brought Eve. From this body, we brought the generations. Now you know that you are the body of Christ. So I want you to envision our first Adam as our second Adam. Think about this. He's the head. And I want you to see everyone past him is his body. You're a member of his body. Do you see what's happening here? Do you understand what's happening? The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Where does the seed originate? In man. In the man. Jesus, who is the Word of God. And the Word is the incorruptible seed. That seed that's inside of him. When I believed and I partook of that seed, I became one of his body. I became one of his body. And I see some fuzzy looks on your faces. And I know it's. I'm going to speak slowly. Because it's so important that you get this. You see, God wanted a family. That's what all the original creation was about. Was a family. And how was he going to originate that family? He was going to do it through one individual. The first Adam. From the first Adam, his intentions were to create an entire family that he could fellowship with. But because of the original sin, it stopped everything. There was no more ability to communicate, to fellowship with his creation. Because, and I want you to see this, jump back to Genesis. See what happened in Genesis chapter 3. In verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is what? The ground. Cursed is the ground. What was God going to do? The ground is cursed now. He couldn't go make another Adam. There was no way. He had to somehow redeem what had been created. And not just redeem them. This is the important part. This is what, and you can sit down for a few more minutes. This is what is the problem with most mainline denominations. They stop at redemption. I never understood this. I never understood that God wasn't just interested in more than my sin. That's all. That's where it stopped at for me. And as a result of it, I never could get free of it. I never could get free of that yearning inside to go out and do the wrong stuff. Because I never dealt with the fact that it's more than just redeeming me from sin. That's the problem. It's not just that. He wants a family back. He sent Jesus as the second Adam because he said, from this second Adam, I'm going to have a family. But this time it's going to be different. Because this time I'm going to have my agreement, not with a man, but with myself. And it will never be broken again. You see, in the garden, when Adam stood there and God spoke to him, that was the commandment. And man at that point, because they erred, brought all of the incorruptible seed into the earth. This time God said, I'm done with that. We're not doing that again. This time I'm going to make an agreement, but I'm making it with myself in the person of Jesus. And from him, through him, I'm going to have my family. And this time, there's never going to ever again be any problem with my family and myself having a fellowship and a relationship. It will never be broken again. Why? Because I'm making my agreement with the second Adam, the incarnate Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. I'll tell you what, I never heard people talk like this in 20 years of getting drugged to church all the time. I never heard this. No one ever explained any of this to me. I just knew that I had problems, and that was all I knew. And I had problems, believe me. But I didn't know the nuts and bolts of this. And I'm a nuts and bolts kind of guy. I mean, don't just tell me, oh, this is what you need to do. I want to know why. If I don't know why, I'll never understand it, and it'll never mean anything to me. So let's go on in Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who are dead, verse 1, in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. I know I did. I had a deep conversation with it. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, this is the good part. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let me have the second Adam. Second Adam is coming up here now. Now remember, in the creation, everyone identified themselves through that incorruptible seed in him, in the first Adam. But now, this time, when I bow my knee to Jesus and I say, Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. When I do that, what I am doing is I am identifying myself in Him. And in doing that, it enables that incorruptible seed, for lack of a better word, to germinate and to create in me a reborn human spirit. I am born again. And now there's generations that come, but most importantly, each person identifies himself in Him. Every one of us is one step removed from Jesus. Think about, let me have the generations again. Think about the generations. You can go back and look in Luke. Luke tells all of the generations. And it says, from so-and-so, he was the son of so-and-so. And through so-and-so, he was the son of so-and-so. And through so-and-so was Seth, and Seth was the son of Adam, and Adam was the son of God. But this time, this guy way down here on the end, he's not identifying with this next guy who identifies with this next guy who identifies with Jesus. This time, I say, I identify with Jesus. I am the Son of God. That'll get you thrown out of some churches right there, I tell you right now. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Okay, you can sit down now. Thanks. For you have not received, verse 15, the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. As I looked at this, I said, okay, God, I'm taking this back to the garden again. Taking this back to the garden, and this is what I see. I see the last man, Adam. But where's Eve? And I'm realizing, I myself, individually, am a son. Collectively, we're the body of Christ. We are His bride. We're His bride. Collectively. Individually, we're children of the living God. And as we join ourselves, see, think about this. You've got these generations standing up here. You've got Eve here. You've got Adam. Every one of them came from inside of Him. What God is wanting to do is He's wanting to go in reverse, step us all back to the place where we are born of an incorruptible seed. And then at the end of the world, He wants to have a big wedding and join us all together as the bride of Christ. And I can show you in Revelations exactly where it says just that. We are going to a wedding feast. If you think about what Jesus said when He talked about we don't fast, why? Because the bridegroom is still here. The bridegroom hasn't been married yet. And the bridegroom is going to do what? Come back for his bride. This came to me this morning. We are just like Jesus being born into the earth through a virgin. Think about it. We have a second Adam. We have an incorruptible seed. I'm being born through that incorruptible seed, just like Jesus was born to a Virgin Mary on this earth, because the Word of God was moved upon by the Holy Ghost inside of Mary, and it created Jesus into the earth, spiritually alive. It has happened inside of me. But as we, as a body, as the church, the body of Christ, as we join ourselves together as His body and we walk through this earth, you turn over to Revelations. You need to see this. Chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Folks, we're making ourselves ready right now. We are making ourselves ready right now. We are going to be joined. This is, everybody stand up. This is where we're going to tie some of this together now. John right here has been born again. Praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus. I want to take John. We're going to walk this way. Born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Stand right there, John. Daniel's been born again. Praise God for that. Daniel, come this way. Right here. Stand right here. Nathan's been born again. Haven't you, Nathan? Yes, okay. Just got to check. Hallelujah. Nathan's been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. One day, this young man said yes to Jesus. And when he did that, on the inside of him was just like God breathed life into the first Adam. He breathed life inside of this young man, and he was born again. Come on over here. Now look what's happening. We're having the reuniting of the body of Adam. His body is being reunited. They're being identified in the bride. And the bride and the groom are coming together at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and it's done. It's over with. Y'all can sit down now. Thank you. Very good. I appreciate it. Let's give them all a hand. I want you to think about this. Think about the creation. And this is what I thought the title was going to be, but it's not. I thought the title was going to be The Garden of Eden in Reverse. Because that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. All of the generations that are born again are joining them, themselves together as his bride. He's coming back for his bride, and the bride and the groom are coming together. And we will be one in the body of the second Adam. That needs to just sink into you. You need to listen to this over again. You're being united with the body of Christ. He's the head. We're his body. We're joining together. And that's what it's all about. I didn't choose to preach this. I didn't, honestly. I didn't even know I was going to preach this. I mean, this week, all of a sudden, I mean, when I'm just sitting here, Koda ba san da da ba sho toto bo ko si, and I'm reading the word, and all of a sudden I get a picture of something, you don't control those pictures. You don't have any control. All you do is write it down and meditate on it. And the first picture I had was the marriage and a marriage covenant. Look over in Romans chapter 7. This was the first indication of all of this that I had. Romans 7. Wherefore, my brethren, verse 4. Now, when he's talking about being married the first time, you have to remember who his audience is. His audience are Jewish people. They're married to God through the law. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him that... Excuse me, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. That's what we need to be doing right now. Bearing fruit. What's fruit? More people like us. That's fruit. More of us. How will I do that? By releasing his seed, just the same way you got saved. You release his seed by speaking his word. People hear it. They act upon it. They believe. They're born again of an incorruptible seed. They become members of his body. They become what will be the bride awaiting the groom. I want to go back over to chapter 8 again of Romans. I didn't get to this one part, and it is definitely important. We'll do 16 and 17 together. The Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God. And this is important. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together with him. When I had the generation standing up here, and I had John was standing down here on the end, was he a direct first heir? No. But I am. I'm not any longer a sub-heir. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Everything that belongs to the head belongs to me. We have head knowledge of this. As soon as we have heart knowledge of it, what's going to happen? The lame are going to be made whole. We have a head knowledge of this. Everything I said, you've seen these scriptures. You've looked at them before. We have to have a heart knowledge of what's happened to us, of who we are. Otherwise, the devil will beat us out of everything and continue beating us out of everything. If you don't know what belongs to you or who you are, I could come along and convince you of anything. And that's what the devil does. He convinces you that healing doesn't belong to you. He convinces you that prosperity isn't for you, it's for somebody else. Or he tells you, you just don't work hard enough. You need to work harder. And I'm not against hard work. And I'm not saying not to work hard. But that's not it. That's not everything. Hard work is great. Hard work is how we do bring prosperity into our hands. But it's because of who we are, not what we do. Amen? It's who we are. I'm a joint heir with the second Adam. I'm a joint heir of the King. A joint heir, son of the living God. It would do you well just to say that to yourself. Just to say that. Confess these kind of scriptures until you believe it. It's what he did for us. It's everything that I showed you. Everything in creation in reverse, all the way back to, once again, his body being joined together. Does everybody see that? Is that clear enough? Does anybody see it? How about that? Raise your hand. If anybody sees that, raise your hand. If you don't, I understand. But that's what it's about. He brought everything in reverse. He reversed everything that happened and brought us and made us whole again in Jesus. I can't wait. There's going to be a day when we leave this planet, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're going to go in with our bridegroom. I don't think we have any idea what that's going to involve. What I want you to understand is what belongs to you right now, not in the later on in heaven, but right now. When it says that you're a member of his body, You've been seated in heavenly places just exactly like he is. You're above all of the power of the enemy, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. All of those things, you are above them. But Mark, you don't understand. I'm getting my tail kicked every day by the enemy. It's simply because the reality of those scriptures has not been birthed in you. How do I do that? You take the incorruptible seed of the Word of God and you speak it and you look at it and you meditate on it until it gives birth inside of your reborn human spirit, until you believe it. And when you believe it, then you have it. That's the difference. I told somebody this in an email the other day. I said, they wanted to know, how do you know when you believe? You know when you believe when you have. That's when you know you believe. Until then, you're working on it. Until then, you've got to till up that ground. You've got to cultivate your spirit on the inside. Continue to feed it with the Word of God. Continue to water it. Meditate on it. Until it becomes so real inside of you, because it's yours already. You simply just don't believe it. Debbie and I have had instances where we're like, my God, I think I believe this. Thinking that you believe it and believing it aren't the same. I sure wish it was easier. I could just read it one time. Thank you, God. I believe it. That's it. It doesn't work that way. Has anyone ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed? It's not just a one-time deal. It takes time. It takes effort. But the good thing is, and this is the good thing, you can do it. You can do this. And what's even better is, it's already done for you in the Spirit. It's just a matter of you believing it. Isn't that good? I mean, God did it all for us. All I have to do is believe it. That's how you got born again, isn't it? Now, thank God it worked then, or you wouldn't be born again. Think about that. I know there are times that I've sat and wondered, God, have I ever got it? Anything that I prayed for? Well, let's see, Mark. Well, you're born again. So yeah, there's the first thing. And then you start reciting all the different things you've prayed for and God's answered. It's like, oh yeah. Because there are just sometimes it seems like some of these things are just so far out there that we're just reaching at air, grasping at something. And I keep saying those scriptures, just doing everything I can to believe. And it's like, it's just right out there, just beyond my fingertips. One day, I'm going to reach out there. I'm going to lay hold of it. And whatever it is, it's manifesting. It's just that simple. How is that for a Resurrection Day message?